Okay, so last time we really focused on the most crucial question about Hagullah. Most fundamental question about Hagullah is how it's effective, if it works by purging the absorptions, the blios of Isser or Chametz or whatever you're purging. Then how come they don't go back into the kli that you're kashering? So and then you didn't accomplish anything. So we're gonna come back to that in a couple of couple different contexts, and the reason is because how you answer that question determines much of how Hagullah is carried out. So let's start on page 338, and we're gonna focus on practical Hagullah. That's what this section is about. We'll cover most of it today and leave a couple things over for next time. So we already saw in the beginning of section 3, the Gemara said how you do Hagullah, Ketzad Magilon. This is the very end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. Amar Rav Huna, Yora Katana, Besoch Yora Gedola. You dip a small pot into a big pot. Okay, so what do you have to do to prepare the kli before Hagullah? So says the Torah, Ketzad hi Hagullah, Yeshaf Sheif Hakli Hetev, Kedei Lahavir Chaluda Shabbat. You have to scrub the utensil well to remove any rust. V'charkach magilo, and then you do Hagullah. So if there's rust on your kli, it's not ready. So really, there's really a first step of Hagullah that is not covered here so much. I mean, it's included in what the Torah is saying. Do you know what I'm talking about, by any chance? So the Torah is saying that you have to scrub it to take off the rust, but really the first step is to make it clean. Like if you have any food on it, like let's say it's your clam chowder pot and you've got some dried clam chowder, or without getting into the details, let's say you have some clam chowder grease on the pot. If you dip that into the hot water, so that's like, let's say you take a kosher pot and you put you got water boiling in your kosher pot and you drop a little piece of clam chowder in. So depending on how much water you have, depending how big the piece is, right, is it, maybe it'll be batel if you have shishim. But assuming you don't have a situation of bitul, it's going to make your pot treif, right? So if you go to kasher something and it's dirty, you go to do Hagullah, we're talking about Hagullah right now, you go to do Hagullah on something that's dirty, so that whole question that we just mentioned, that fundamental question about Hagullah of, like, if you do Hagullah, you take out the absorptions and it goes right back into the pot, that you have that problem much worse if you have an actual piece of treif food or grease or residue, assuming it's still edible, on the kli. It's just going to treif up your water, potentially, and make the pot treif all over again. So what we're talking about right now is the practical steps of Hagullah, of immersing something in boiling water to kasher it. So the first step is, and it doesn't really talk about it in our seif, we're on page 338, by the way, the first step is washing it. That's the first step. And there is actually a halachic term for that, which we learned. Hadacha, yes. Hadacha. That is called hadacha. So, but there's like two aspects of Hadacha. What we really talked about is that's a way to kasher. It could be, according to Ramban, we said, that's the way you kasher a utensil used for kol, right? Let's say a cup that was used with wine, with treif wine, you kasher it by washing it. Rashi said you could just wipe it off, right? But so it could be a way of kashering. Mishnah Berurah possibly is strict like the Ramban we saw. You have to wash it with water, even if you could just wipe it off, you have to wash it. But there's also Hadacha that's just a preliminary step for a more serious type of kashering, most usually Hagalah. So, right, your clam chowder pie, you have to thoroughly clean. Okay. But now, the Tor, and quoting his father, the Rush, is really saying something a little bit more. He's saying you have to scrub off any rust. So why do you think you have to scrub off rust? Why can't you do Hagalah? You're kashering a pot, there's a little rust, big deal. Rust isn't food. It's not clam chowder. It's not going to trafe up your water.
We don't think rust absorbs more than not rust.
That's an interesting idea, right? Yeah, let's assume it doesn't absorb more than anything else, right? Any other metal. I don't know if rust is metal. I don't know what I mean. It is, I guess. Yeah, it's just metal that has gone through a chemical transformation. Yeah.
You could say the rust can not like absorbing like a lot of it, but I just mean to say like it could be like food particles stuck in there a little more, like physical ones more.
Mm. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay, maybe there's something stuck. You don't know what's under the rust or in the rust. That's a very good point. Any other thoughts? And I want to, David, I want to encourage your line of thinking that maybe there's you said maybe there, you know, could it be that there's more absorption in rust? Right, probably not, but maybe there's another issue along those lines of absorption issues. Can you think of any other possibility? You have to remove the rust before kashering the pot. Why would you have to do that in terms of absorptions? So Alex is going a different direction, which is interesting, right? There's actual food. It's the same as having a dirty pot. You have maybe some treif under some clam chowder stuck under the rust.
So maybe before it rusted, the pot was absorbing.
Okay.
And now all of a sudden there's rust on top of that. So the absorption was there before the rust.
And therefore, now you try to kosher it, the rust will interfere with the ability of the water to penetrate, however it works, this, you know, of purging the bleos, purging the absorbed flavor.
You can't see it.
Right.
The rust, you can't see what's inside what's behind the rust.
Right, but that's more Alex's suggestion. Yeah, but your suggestion is even if you can, even if you have an x-ray, you x-ray the pot, you still have the absorptions in the wall of the pot, so it might interfere with the ability of the Hagalah to be effective. So now let's see now the top of page 339. So the Rush explains. So this is really all from the Rush. He quoted the Tor here for some reason. Now he's quoting the Beis Yosef. I wish this Sefer would just bring the words of the Rush himself, but maybe there's a little more explanation or something. So let's read this. Mipnei shebimkom ha-chaluda, in the place of the rust, vatinofes, and the filth. So I'm not sure why that word is added there. Ein polet habalua. It cannot expel the absorbed flavor. So it sounds like he's saying your reason, David. Vitanya bisifri. So the Brisa says in the halachic medrash is sifri. Aches asahav. So this is one of the psukim about the war with Midian and the source for kashering kelim. It says aches asahav. It's talking about kashering something that's gold. It says except but the gold. So what is this word but? So Chazal say mikan. It's excluding something. You can kasher zahav shetzarich lahaver zachaluda. Now obviously gold doesn't rust. But it means if any of the metals on this list have rust on them, and some of them do rust, right? Iron is one of them on the list. You have to take off the rust. So that's, okay, that's a side point. There's a source for this idea of taking off the rust. But what we're concerned is the Rush is saying that Not that there's some trafe, you know, trapped under your rust. He's saying that there's nothing there because of the absorptions underneath, and Haggadah doesn't work when there's absorptions. So we're going to come back to Alex's approach in a moment. So let's see now. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like this. It's talking about kashering knives for Pesach. A knife with a serrated edge that cannot be cleaned, you need libun. Okay, so let's see what, let's get into this. Kodem Haggadah. Before Haggadah, tzarech l'shufam yafeh b'mashchezes. You have to clean them well with a whetstone or millstone, ober echayim, meaning you're grinding off like the surface of the knife before kashering the knife. L'haver kol chaluda, to take off any rust, shebahem. Kodem hachshar, before you kasher with Haggadah. Hilkach, im yesh bo gumos. Now, if you have any crevices, ve'eno yachol, meaning you have, like, in the metal, there's a little crevice, and there's food trapped in there. Ve'eno yachol enakoso yafeh, you can't clean it out properly. Ein mo lo Haggadah, levad. Haggadah is not enough to kasher this. Haggadah will kasher the parts that are not that little crevice, but the crevice it won't work on. Tzarech libun b'makom hagumos. The place of the crevices, you have to do libun, right? You use a flame on it. You get it hot, it burns up whatever's in there, and then everything is kosher. Okay, so now let's take a look at the sheet. This is the new sheet for today. It's number 47.
So if you, let's say, if you repainted a pot or something, would you have to scrape off the paint? Or let's say, if you bought it from a goy, and then so he repainted it at some point, would you have to scrape off the paint before you kosher it?
That's an excellent question.
What qualifies, I suppose?
I'll try to address that more, but the simple answer is that you can't kosher something. If you could scrape off all the paint, absolutely, but there are things with glazes, enamels on them, like the typical chulim pot, let's say, has some type of enamel on it, right? It's not just metal. It's paint. It's got black paint. Just for an example, silverware doesn't have any paint, right? You could easily kosher that, but something that's painted, it seems that you won't be able to do it. But it might depend on this. Your two different explanations. Let's pause this. So go to page 2 here. So this is Hilchos Pesach. This is on the Shulchan Aruch that we just saw about. Shulchan Aruch says you got to remove rust, but the Shulchan Aruch doesn't go into why. So if you take a look, this is on the right side, right here. So I don't have this translated. On the right side is the Taz. Right, he's one of the fundamental. They're called Nosei Kalim, but it's not really commentaries, but it's more commenters on the Shulchan Aruch about practical halacha. So this is what he says. So first he quotes, this is the source, the Gemara says, about rust. That's why I have to remove the rust. Nearly. The Hainu Mashanu Korim Rust. This Chaluda, the translation of that into Yiddish, is rust. The Yesham Mamish Boso Rust. There's some substance to the rust. Meaning, what he means by that is that it's not just a discoloration with no substance. He's going to get back more to that in the end. The utensil was put into a closet or something. There wasn't enough air. So when you scrape it, a little, something comes off like dust. That's like, right. That's rust. But Tom, now, why is this, why can't you kasher it if there's rust? Shema yesh bo so makom mamish min hachametz. Maybe underneath the rust, or in the rust, there's some chametz. There's a piece of chametz. V'achul de mechaseu. Obviously a piece, you're not going to have a huge chunk. You're talking about something small. And the rust is concealing it. Haggadah is not going to help if you have a piece of chametz on the pot. Ki ain Haggadah l'mashehu be'en. Be'en means something that is, the substance of it is there in contrast to something that's not be'en, that means something that's just the flavor is absorbed and the actual food is not there anymore. So this is still the actual food is there. Hagola doesn't work for that, right? If you still have your clam chowder stuck to the pot and you dip it into a thing to kosher it, it's not going to work. Okay, then he just goes, he concludes here. But sometimes you have a blackness, o adam dumas, or redness, beizamakom akli, on a certain part of the utensil, befrat beyoros and machavos, particularly of pots and pans. The asher lasira misham legamre afilu achagreir. You can't scrape it off. It's just discoloration. It's permanent. Vensham mamish ragmar lechud. But there's no substance to it. It's just the appearance. It's just the color. That you could do hagala, because dimlokein lotimsa kiim echad meir shiyachal tukahav. You're going to have one person in each city who's going to be able to kosher their pot, because no one's going to have pots that have no discoloration. So what kind of ridiculous situation would that be? Kiyesh harbe kach shel tukalaser. There's tons of this that you can't do it. Okay. Okay, bottom line, so we have two different reasons of why rust interferes with Haggadah. Either because you've got something stuck there, or because you've got nothing stuck there, but it doesn't expel. Haggadah can't expel if rust is interfering. Yeah.
I'm just curious, so how do they use the line of reasoning, if the stains, you had a Haggadah doesn't work if there's a stain, right? So then... But that can't be true, because if that was true, then no one would be able to kosher their pots. How is that a line of reasoning?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, that's a good question. Meaning, maybe that's the case. Which is actually his next line kind of says maybe that's correct. Maybe you can't, right? And he brings evidence from the Shulchan Aruch that. Because the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have crevices, you need to do libun on the crevices. So I think what he says is, if the same thing that he says about crevices is true about discoloration, why does he have to mention crevices? He should just say it about discoloration, which is like more common and I don't know, more common. It's
what's his reasoning about discoloration? You can use Haggadah.
Right.
So to me, the key word is substance.
Right.
There's no substance to discoloration.
Sure. But Alex is just asking, he's just asking a question on his evidence. Who cares? Maybe there's only one pot in the city that doesn't have coloration. Okay, so maybe that...
That's not the reason that...
But you're saying, right, you're saying if there's no substance, why in the world would that be... A problem.
It's
right.
Different than a regular pot because it's this color.
Yeah.
No, I get the concept. I'm saying the explanation that he gives, like explicitly, that's what I'm wondering.
Shalom Aleichem. Mincha starts at 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a good enough reason.
And like, I don't know, 10 minutes.
It's his reason,
yeah.
But that wouldn't be, my reason would be substance.
Where are you from?
I'm not sure what his reason is.
You here for a vacation?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah. No, my
very nice. Okay. Bruch Mabayim. Okay. So how do we paskin? Is the concern of rust because of impairing the ability to kash to take out the blios, or because we're afraid there's something stuck in there? So all I could tell you is the Mishnah Brura, who's like, comes after all these opinions. He only quotes the Taz, who says that we're afraid chametz is stuck in the rust. Take a look at Chav Beis here. That's the bigger box with the vowels. Kol chaluda. Okay. Hold on. Okay, so go to the third line down. At the end of the line. Aval kishyesham chaluda. When you have rust, yesh lachush shema yesham mashu min chametz. Maybe there's some chametz in the rust. Va chaluda mechasehu. And the rust covers it. And rust doesn't. And Haggadah doesn't help something that, you know, that's that has a that has substance. Ki ein hagavah l'mashu ba'en. Okay, then he goes on to make the point about discoloration, and he says like the Taz as well. So okay, so Alex asked this question about pots with paint on it. It would seem to depend on this machlokas, because if the reason is like that it's you, if something absorbed in the metal and you have rust between the water and the water isn't effective, well, the same thing should apply to paint. So maybe paint interferes. It doesn't let the water extract. Now, you could look at the paint as the kli itself. Then you have to analyze, is paint a material that can be koshered or not, which is a topic that we'll get back to. I don't know if we'll talk about paint, but that's what the question would be. Can you extract flavor from paint? But if, on the other hand, you're concerned about chametz or treif being between the pot and the rust, being hidden in there, well, if it's painted, you don't have that. There's no, food doesn't get under the paint. So it would seem you could kosher a pot that's coated with paint. Now, you would still have to address the possibility if you cook clam chowder in a pot that has paint on it, maybe the clam chowder is absorbed in the paint itself, that, like I was just mentioning a moment ago. You have absorptions in the paint, and can you extract those? Like, that would be another, you know, issue. But in terms of, can you take out of the walls of the pot themselves, can Hagala work, you know, then that would be, seem to depend on this issue. In the note over here, which in number 22, this is from the Dirshu Mishnah Brewer, which we don't have time to go into, but it talks about, can you do, sometimes you may want to do Hagala on a utensil that has stickers on it. Does that interfere? Okay, so that's addressed. The basic answer seems to be you should take them off, but if you don't, it still works. And then the one that's addressed by many poskim is if you have a hot water urn that has mineral deposits encrusted in it, can you kosher that for Pesach, let's say? Because the issue would be a similar one to rust. If there's some absorptions of chametz, like some people, they have a hot water urn and they'll like put, you know, it may be hard to picture this, but they'll like put a pot on, they'll put a pan, a thin pan on top of it, and they'll like put a piece of schnitzel on it on Shabbos morning as like a life hack of how to heat up, an easy way to heat up schnitzel or something, right? So in that, maybe somehow, you know, your thing got chicken or, you know, chametz in your urn. So anyway, the question is, right, do these mineral deposits prevent you from koshering? So it's a similar thing as rust. So the basic, there are some that are strict, but the basic consensus seems to be that it's fine. It doesn't prevent you from koshering. And part of that is that you can kosher, those minerals are like rock, they're like treated like rock, so they themselves can be koshered. They don't interfere with, you can extract flavors from them, so even if they absorbed flavor, Hagala will extract it.
I have stickers though. Even if you want to say they're worried about like an actual chametz or whatever.
Yeah.
Couldn't there be like the physical item under the sticker?
Like a piece of chametz?
Like, yeah, not like a piece of chalav, you know, like from like a...
Yeah, I think really the case that's talking about is when you know there's not. It's like from the factory, that sticker's always been on there or something. So, you know, if they put it on the factory, you assume there's no chametz there.
It's not microscopic either. If I put a sticker on, I can see that I'm putting a sticker on a flat surface.
Right.
Nothing is on there.
Sure. Sure.
It's not even just rust, but anything.
Right, right, absolutely.
From, right.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's just see one more thing here. Okay, so we really covered last time in part B that you can't, the pot has to not be ben yomo, or you need to have 60 times the volume of the pot. We talked about that in detail. The basic halacha is you always have to wait till it's ben yomo, till it's not ben yomo, right? 24 hours have elapsed from the when it was used with treif. We'll leave it at that right now. There is an exception I want to try to get to maybe next time. Okay, now let's do C, time in the water. Really only have 2 minutes. Let's do it real quick. The question is, how long do you have to leave it in for our gullet to work? You know, how long do you leave it in the boiling water? So the riff quoted by the Torah says, "Mashi lehu lemane bego yora." You let it sit in there ad depalti, until the taste is expelled, till the treif is expelled. So obviously, it's very unclear how long does it have to be. So the Rush says, and this, again, we're seeing it in the Torah. From on page 342, v'nohagin lahachnisan ulotzian miyad. Our minig is to put it in and take it right out. It works instantaneously. This is certainly the implication of the Mishnah Berurah. If you look on the front page, we're going to go into a little. I was going to go into like why this is, but we're going to kind of leave it out. But the Mishnah Berurah basically says that you shouldn't take it out immediately. It's not correct. It's this box right here on page one. It's the second box down, third line at the very end. Lo tzio tekef gam kenei nachon. It's not correct to take it out immediately, because maybe it doesn't work immediately, right? So, but he doesn't say it's usser. It doesn't say it doesn't work if you take it out. He says it's not correct. It's better to leave it. He elaborates a little more. The next box is the Shar HaTzion of the Mishnah Berurah, the end of the top line. They say it's good to leave it in a little bit, basically. I actually cut off the last line of that Shar HaTzion. So it seems like the simple halacha is it works instantaneously. If you look at 342, he says you should leave it in a little longer. Make sure all the taste is purged. But they don't give a specific amount. It says a few moments. Now, if you look on the bottom of page one that I gave you, this is from David Cohn's book about Kasher and Kalim. He says there's no minimum amount of time. We assume Blia instantly comes out when the utensil is put into the boiling water, but he quotes from Belsky. Seems logical that the utensil must remain in the water for as long as it takes for the utensil's walls to become heated. For how can it be that the boiling water has penetrated the utensil and drawn out all blios, all absorbed flavors, if the utensil is not yet even hot? So that's what it seems like. Meaning, to say it just works magically when you dip it in, you have a thick thing. He goes on to talk about a cast iron pot. It takes, if something's really thick, it could take, you know, it could take 10 seconds for some things. It depends on what you're kashering. If you're kashering something very thin, then it pretty much heats up instantaneously. But if it's thicker, then the recommendation is to leave it in for a few seconds. You know, how many seconds? 15 to 20 seconds maximum for something very thick. But normally, you know, 5 seconds for the normal kalim is sufficient. Thanks for joining me.